Welcome to Enduring Words with David Guzik, a daily devotional podcast brought to you by Enduring Word.
Today, let's talk about being restored from the feeling of being forsaken. I'm going to read to you Isaiah chapter 54, verses 4 through 8. So let's listen to this passage. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. This passage from Isaiah reminds us of something wonderful, something that's commonly forgotten. It reminds us that God cares very much about restoring those who feel ashamed and disgraced. In this text, he tells those who are afraid of things to come that they do not need to fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. One commentator on the book of Isaiah, J. Alec Motyer, says that these three words, which could be translated shame, disgrace, and humiliated, that they represent three synonymous Hebrew verbs that all share the fundamental idea of disappointed hopes, the embarrassment of expecting, even publicly announcing one thing and then reaping another thing. God doesn't want his people to live under such shame, so he tells them, do not fear. Going a step further, God used a picture of someone in that ancient culture who would normally feel ashamed and disgraced, that is, the widow. He says that they will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Just as God compared the disgrace of Israel to the shame of barrenness, now he compares their humiliation to the reproach of widowhood. Here, the Lord promised rescue from Israel's shame. Then, to strongly communicate using this picture of the disgraced widow, God wiped away any sense of shame with the promise, "For your Maker is your husband." Though Israel might have been regarded as forsaken as a widow was, the Lord promised to stand in the place of her husband. Through the centuries, many a hurting woman has taken the promise for herself, forsaken by a husband or forsaken of a husband. They have found beautiful comfort in the promise that God would be a husband to them when all others had forsaken them. The principle is true. God will supply and meet our needs and rescue us from our disgrace and shame, even when others forsake us. And what kind of husband is the God to his people? Well, Isaiah tells us, the Lord of hosts in his name. You see, to comfort and strengthen his people, God reminded them of how glorious a Savior he is. He's their Maker. He's the Lord of hosts. He's their Redeemer. He's the Holy One of Israel, and he's called the God of the whole earth. Not only does God supply a husband, but he supplies a great one, that is, himself. The promise that the Lord will meet our needs when others forsake us does not leave us to a place of second best. The Lord God can be a greater husband than any man can be. This is something for every single woman to remember, and something that no married woman should forget. An earthly husband can never fulfill every need that the great heavenly husband can. Then God explained his restoration of Israel. He said, "For a mere moment I have forsaken you." God never really forsook Israel, yet he recognized that they felt forsaken. God says, "For a mere moment, I allowed you to feel that I have forsaken you." And the answer to that forsaken feeling is simple. "But with great mercies," God promises, "I will gather you." The forsaken is in the present tense. The great mercies are in the future tense, but they're real. And they gave Israel cause to set their hope and trust in the Lord, though they felt forsaken at the moment. Repeating the idea, Isaiah said on behalf of the Lord, "I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you." The contrast is between the moment of feeling forsaken and the everlasting nature of the kindness that will come. When we feel tried and forsaken, we should recognize that it is just for a moment, and the everlasting blessing will certainly come as we put and keep our faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Think upon that. Let it comfort your soul today.
Thanks for listening to Enduring Words with David Guzik. For more information about David's ministry, visit enduringword.com.